Hey, it's Jessica. This episode you're about to hear, well, it's a little different than what we normally put out, but I think you're going to enjoy hearing about how a building that sat vacant for nearly a decade is now home to some award-winning inventors right here in O'Fallon. It's a story of a passionate and creative individual who took a risk that brought more passionate and creative people into our community, so I hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the 618 Now, a production of the Chamber of Commerce and the O'Fallon Weekly, where we give you a snapshot of what's happening right now in O'Fallon and Shiloh. Today is Friday, March 18th, 2022, and Jessica, what's going on?
Well, last week we talked about taxes.
How about
this week we talk about toys?
Yay!
Is that more up your alley?
Heck yeah, that's right. Definitely up my alley.
There is a toy design and development company that now calls O'Fallon home.
What?
They are located at the corner of South Cherry and West 5th Street over by Marie Schaefer Elementary School.
Okay.
But before we talk about the toy company, there's kind of a cool story about how they even wound up here. Andy Flieger is an area resident, and for years, while dropping his kids off at school, he would drive by this building and was always really intrigued by how unique it looked. It had been for sale off and on over the years, and each time he saw the for sale sign up, he would just dream about all he could do with rehabbing it.
I think I know what building you're talking about, that really nice brick one over
yes.
there. Yeah, that's it.
In the fall of 2020, he reached a point where he could seriously consider purchasing it, but the building wasn't for sale at the time. So he reached out to the owner and learned that while it's a charming 1,500 square foot building, there was one problem that she felt was keeping it from selling. It had a really unique zoning issue.
Dun, dun, dun.
It was originally built in 1947 as a full-service restaurant, and over the years, it's been a retail store, a hair salon, and at one point, I think it was even a church.
Hmm.
But back when it was built, there were no zoning laws. And since then, the city has adopted zoning laws, and the area where the building resides is now zoned as single-family residential.
Okay.
So the problem is, the building has only ever been used for business. Because the building predated the zoning laws, it was originally grandfathered in and could remain as commercial use. Unfortunately, after the last business moved out in 2013, the building sat empty long enough that it lost its grandfathered status, and so it reverted to residential.
Uh-oh.
The previous owners tried selling it as residential, but it wasn't built as a house, so it was never really appealing to potential homeowners,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
So you have a building that is zoned residential, but has never been used as a home. It's only ever been used commercially, but commercial use isn't allowed under the current zoning.
That sounds like a real trick bag.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Normally, when a business wants to locate in an area that's not made for business, it goes through a process called rezoning. And cities rezone properties occasionally. I'm not going to say that it happens often, but it's not that unusual for something to be rezoned.
Yeah.
However, in this specific instance, because the entire neighborhood is zoned single-family residential, rezoning it as commercial could potentially be considered spot zoning. And spot zoning, well, that's illegal in Illinois.
Can't do that.
So Andy, aware that there were some zoning issues, but committed to seeing it through, he bought the building.
That is taking a big risk.
That is a big risk. It sure is. It's courage. It had been vacant for 8 years, and he just really wanted to figure out a way to rehab it, make it nice, and just put it back in use again. He worked with the city's community development department and became aware of the potential to apply for something called a use variance. Unlike rezoning, which happens occasionally, obtaining a use variance is much more difficult and therefore it rarely happens. But if he could get a use variance, the property would remain zoned as residential, but it would allow for certain types of business activity to happen there.
Neat.
But very, very few circumstances meet the strict requirements to obtain this approval.
Okay.
But this was looking like it could be one of them. Prior to Andy buying the building, it had been through 4 different owners since the last business closed in 2013, and each of those owners had discussions with the city about converting the building to a residential use, but none had been successful to date. Ultimately, Andy applied for the variance, and it went through the administrative process. Nick, you know how some things go. There were lots of hearings, public meetings, but fortunately, he was successful in obtaining the variance.
That's awesome.
The night before he went before the governing body to seek final approval, Andy received a random Facebook message from a guy named Michael who had noticed that Andy had recently bought the building. Just like Andy, Michael's kids also attended school locally, and while taking them to school, Michael had noticed the same building and considered it for his company.
Hmm.
Seeing that Andy had purchased the building just a few months before, Michael reached out to Andy. And the timing of Michael's Facebook message to Andy could not have been any better. Andy knew that if he got this approval, he would be really limited in the type of businesses that could move in. It couldn't drive a lot of traffic. It couldn't employ too many people because, I mean, it's a small space. It's like 1,500 square foot.
Yeah.
And there's just not a lot of parking. But the timing was also good from the standpoint that Andy hadn't actually started any rehabilitation. So now that he had a potential tenant, he could sort of build it in a way that would make sense for them.
Yeah.
Michael, together with his college friend and business partner, Rory, are toy inventors.
Oh, that's where the toy connection comes in.
It's all coming together now. By training, Michael is an electrical engineer and Rory is a computer engineer. And after graduating college, they worked together, well, as engineers.
Neat.
But on the side for fun, they enjoyed building things. And eventually, they met a toy inventor and learned that these things that they were building on the side could actually become a career. So they started SG Labs, which is a product design, development, and consulting company focused mostly on toys. Most of the big toy companies like Mattel, Fisher-Price, they rely heavily on third-party inventors for their toys.
Okay.
So the big companies are generally good at taking something that's built. They can mass produce it, figure out the packaging, they do the marketing, the distribution, but they need the toy inventors to come up with the initial ideas and designs. And that's exactly what Michael and Rory do.
That's awesome.
And they are really good at it too. In 2020, they received the Fisher-Price Baby Toy of the Year, as well as the Mattel and Fisher-Price Inventor's Choice Award.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is neat.
Most of what they do are original designs, but they do get requests occasionally. So sometimes the big toy companies will have a very specific need, and so they'll reach out to people like Michael and Rory. For example, they recently designed a Minion toy for the newest Minion movie. Now, unfortunately, the release of that movie kept getting pushed back because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But I think it's scheduled to come out in July. So this toy they've had ready to go for like 3 years is just now releasing.
Wow.
Usually, it's not that long to bring a toy from the initial concept onto the shelves. But here's what they do. They design a concept, they build a prototype, and then they pitch it to the toy companies. Now, they have a strategic partner that they're close with who has really good relationships with the toy makers, and that strategic partner can often help them with the pitches. But if they pitch a toy in September, Michael said it's usually on the shelves by the following Christmas. So, like 14 months, maybe?
Okay. So, not like the next Christmas.
Not the current,
but the next one. Okay.
And they used to do these big toy shows where they'd bring like 30 new toys that they'd developed, and they'd schedule meetings every few minutes with toy companies, and then they'd just have to see what toys might be picked up for production and distribution, which to me, that just sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
But now that they have some really good successes and they've worked to build these relationships, they primarily have 6 or 7 toy companies they work with, and they have a much better idea of what to design that's more likely to get chosen.
Cool.
Fun fact, right now they're designing toys for the 2024 Christmas season.
Okay, so there are two Christmases out.
There are
out
two
at this
Christmases
point.
Out. Like, wow. How do we know what's going to be popular in two Christmases?
These guys.
That's true.
So we can avoid the whole Cabbage Patch thing if we just figure out
what they're doing.
And like, as soon as it comes out, we just snap on it right away.
There you go. I like your thinking.
I know. I can start selling Hatchimals early and get that sweet, sweet aftermarket money. Okay. Anyway, continue.
Amidst the craziness of the current toy season, last week, they moved into Andy's building. They had previously been up in Alton, but were looking for something closer to home. So inside the building, Nick, it's a toy lab.
Wow.
Pretty much everything you need to take something from an idea on a whiteboard through all the way up to a functioning prototype. They design the toy, they do 3D printing of the part, they paint the toy. And most of their toys, I think because of their professional backgrounds, they have technology in them. So in their lab, in Andy's building, they do the programming, which includes any like audio sounds and music too.
Wow.
So they do all of this from that old vacant building that almost didn't happen.
Very cool.
I just feel like so many things serendipitously aligned, and it was really fun listening to each of them share their stories about their perspective on how all of this came to be.
I just think it's interesting you just used the word serendipitously. Blah, you know exactly what I was just about to say.
I've got talents.
Yeah, I was going to say, I couldn't even say it.
Andy, the building owner, shared with me that his youngest daughter received a Raleigh the Kissing Puppy toy the Christmas prior to all of this unfolding.
Okay.
And that's significant because Raleigh is one of SG Lab's toys that they invented.
Wow.
Cool, huh?
That is cool. Well, it sounds like a lot of their toys, being so technology-focused, are going to do well with the younger kids.
Yep, they do. So we're going to link to the SG Labs website in the show notes. They have a video with a lot of their toys. And if you have younger kids, chances are you're familiar with some of these toys. But now when you see these toys on the shelves at stores, you'll know that they were designed right here in O'Fallon.
Well, Jess, you're right. This was a very different episode. But as much as I like hearing about the big multi-million dollar developments, there's a lot of value in some of these other projects that highlight the heart of the community.
I agree. And big thank you to Andy for having the courage to buy the 120 building, even knowing it was going to be a challenge.
Definitely.
And kudos to Michael and Rory for recognizing the building as the gem that it is and for making it their business home. I would say welcome to O'Fallon. We're so glad that you're here.
Definitely. Well, on that note, I've got to get going. I'm going to go look at some toys.
Thanks, Nick. It's always a pleasure.
This podcast is a production of the O'Fallon Shiloh Chamber of Commerce. We're a nonprofit with over 600 members, and together we welcome, unite, and promote business. Remember, you can't buy happiness, but you can buy local, and that's sort of the same thing.